This podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney, the most trusted name in solar with over 70 years of experience on Sydney's rooftops. This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
Your move
against that. Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to The Watch List. And today, this is again Russ Matthews here, but I welcome one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite hosts, Ben McKechnie from Hope 103.2 is joining me here today. How are you doing today, Ben?
Russ, you are too kind. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, good, good. I can't wait to see who gets to play Deadpool and who gets to play Wolverine in this podcast.
I would have thought that would be obvious, but anyway, keep going.
We'll definitely see how it goes. But hey, yes, we are about to talk about probably one of the most talked about films of the year, and that would be Deadpool and Wolverine, the bringing together of two beloved characters within the MCU. And also, yes, now they are in the MCU. It's been 6 years since we're going along with Deadpool and his gang as they were kind of going out and making mayhem throughout the world. And what has happened? Well, Wade Wilson tried to enlist with the Avengers, and he was rejected. And so what does he do? He goes and sells pre-owned cars. But in the meantime, what happens is that he's visited by the Time Variance Authority, which if you need to know what that is, go back and watch the Loki series on Disney Plus. Mr. Paradox tells him, he's actually played but with smarmy brilliance by Matthew McFadden, he shares how this world's timeline is in jeopardy and he needs to go and fix it with his unique skills. But yet Wade Wilson figures out, something's amiss here. And so he tricks him and goes off and tries to find the Wolverine that's going to help him to not only fix his timeline, but also many other timelines within the multiverse. But as you would expect, Deadpool causes more ripples throughout the multiverse, and it'll bring all these characters back from the past and wreak havoc on the future of the MCU.
Yeah, it's complicated, Russ, and I imagine we'll get into some of the complexities of it. And are we trying for spoiler alert? Are we trying to not give spoilers in this?
I mean, it's almost going to be inevitable. There's going to be some spoilers. We're going to try and do our best not to. Like, we probably want to give away some of the cameos, maybe. But I think that we'll put a warning out there that there might be a few spoilers as we're kind of going through this. We'll do our best to kind of keep away from that, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so spoiler alert, there might be some spoilers along the way. Alert, alert.
Alert, alert.
Russ, what did you think, though, of Deadpool and Wolverine?
You know, as I've sat and ruminated on this, I really felt that on one side, the quality was great. There's great chemistry between Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, which is actually seen throughout the years. We've just seen that they have a great friendship and camaraderie that really plays out well on the screen. I love the throwback to the Marvel Fox universe. And so all these great characters kind of be reintroduced in a kind of unique ways. But on the other side, I'm quite conflicted because this is one that is not necessarily the MCU you would definitely want to share with others. Children should not be going to see this movie. And also, this film is not one that I would want to go and watch with my family members. You kind of laugh in the background like, hoo-hoo, this is funny, chortle, chortle. But yet, it's not necessarily one that you would necessarily feel proud about having everybody know that you've gone to see it. Because it does have its bucket loads of violence and also crude humor that really kind of take it to the next level. I mean, one thing I will have to say Ryan Reynolds does do is that he goes out and he offends everybody. Yeah, he really doesn't really care who it is that he offends because there's really everybody. He is sacrilegious. He's homoerotic. He's all these things that kind of hit on all these different planes and all these different levels. I don't know about you, but he's like one of those friends that you have that can get away with jokes that you never could. I don't know. Maybe you are that way, Ben, but I just am like going, how does this guy get away with this all the time? So Deadpool, it's fun, but I kind of would have to put a caution on this one. And I think that there's a reason, but I'm going to unpack that a little bit more here in a minute. I want to first hear what your thoughts are because I've been able to sit on this for a few days, but I think you just got the chance to see it here recently.
Yeah. And a lot of what you're saying, I totally agree with. Crude, crass, violent, vulgar. It's though the superhero Deadpool blockbuster that you would expect from this character. And you're a much bigger superhero movie aficionado than I am. I've dipped out of the MCU in the past couple of years, so I've missed a lot of the ones that you and plenty of other people have dismissed as not very good. And then as we get into these multiverse, that right. I really liked in Deadpool and Wolverine, that as much as this is ridiculously complicated around the whatever is going on with the different universes, the movie constantly made jokes about that and constantly used the idea of how ridiculous this is, and yet we're still going to do it anyway. And I think by the end of the movie, they basically trashed the idea of the multiverse and yet at the same time kind of upheld it as well, which is pretty interesting. What I also liked about the movie, as you pointed out, the chemistry between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman is great and on show. And what I thought worked then overall, and this I'm also torn with you, Russ, is with their pairing and what goes on in some of the banter with them, it is still predominantly Ryan Reynolds' show.
Right.
And he's the bit that can trouble you, but that's what Deadpool does, is he's like this really difficult character because you have all this offensiveness and ultra-violence and moral flexibility is what it's called in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And yet you get these moments of heart as well and these threads in the film of trying to do something for others and self-sacrifice, like we saw in the best ever superhero film, Logan, well, at least the best ever Marvel film,
that's so good.
The most recent Wolverine, which gets referenced a lot in this movie. So, Russ, I, like you, came out torn. I wouldn't be rushing to recommend it. As you said, kids definitely shouldn't be going to see it. This just revels in its offensiveness, and yet at different times it's got a beating heart, and you don't know whether to laugh at some of the things. But then also there's a lot of clever stuff in this film. Did you like all the fourth wall breaking and all the self-references?
I always loved
that. That was like out of control. Like how many things were being said about other movies and Ryan Reynolds, not just MCU, but Ryan Reynolds. And even, I couldn't believe, but there was a joke about Hugh Jackman's divorce.
Exactly. I mean, everything. I mean, well, they even had some of the Greatest Showman music playing. I mean, all of it's just, it was, that's where the kind of the layers of brilliance were. But also I would have to say that one thing that I think that they did get right, and I'd be curious what your thoughts are on this one, was that I find that with a lot of the superhero films that don't work or kind of fail is that they don't bring out a villain that matches the hero that's in the story. And I really felt that the combination of Cassandra Nova, who's played by Emma Corrin, and also Mr. Paradox, I think they really did bring the smarminess and also the pure villainy. I mean, there's just evil kind of that they're coming up against in so many ways.
Did you think because we've got Deadpool and Wolverine, this doubleheader of superheroes, they went for doubleheader of villains and both British and both really great at being smarmy Brits? And Emma Corrin, who is best known for playing Princess Diana in The Crown, is like, you're right, she's just the silver spoon version of British villainy.
Totally.
And Matthew McFadyen, who is so great in Succession, is just like amping it up in as Mr. Paradox. Like, great casting. But I was impressed too that the movie didn't collapse under the weight of too many superheroes or too many villains.
Being in the crowd and just hearing everybody cheering every single time that they had one of their beloved characters came back, or the most maligned characters within the Marvel universe that was Fox. And so it was fun just kind of seeing that. But I'm curious about something too, was that one thing that really kind of resonated with me is that I'm going, oh, this is kind of, is this the next generation of superheroes? Because I grew up with Christopher Reeves as Superman. I grew up, you know, loving Captain America as Chris Evans. You know, I'm, you know, seeing the kids run around outside with the red towel around their neck, you know, saying super, you know, going off because they morally stood for something. But now all of a sudden we're seeing superheroes who are, like you said, very morally flexible. I mean, are they good? Are they bad?
As they self-describe.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's they. Some could say anti-hero, but I would just say just morally flexible. But then on top of it, they're superheroes, but they're not really super in the same level that we would. So I'm like, I think that they're also, this film was completely kind of, I think, influenced by all of the gaming world that's kind of gone on over the past few decades in so many ways, as far as the level of violence too. I mean, where the level of violence, I think it would have made John Wick blush. I mean, this is just like, wow, this is just next level.
And didn't you find a lot of it was just for the sake of it? I thought like some of it was to see Deadpool and Wolverine go at it, but then you're basically seeing what is effectively video game characters that just can't die. And that's one of their things. They can't die. So they're basically just pummeling themselves in creative ways with as much blood as you can pour out on screen. And like after a while, like what visually spectacular, but this is leaving me with not much of anything.
Yeah.
And the crowd that I was in, it was a smaller crowd. And I found that they weren't as into it as I expected them to be.
Yep.
And for someone who's not into superhero films, I really appreciated the amount of exposition in this film. And at the same time, I loved how they called out themselves on exposition all over the place. And for someone who hadn't kept up on the MCU, I found it was a really actually a good crash course in what's been happening. But at the same time, all the jokes that were going on, there were almost too many and they're often too witty, I think. For at least some people that I was in the audience, I think that I'm not trying to have a go at them. I just think it was going through so fast that people didn't seem to register it. And then you have these massive blasts of violence and then you get back to this rapid fire insulting jokes. And it just seemed to leave people a little bit like, I'm enjoying this, I think, but I'm not really sure what's going on, but I think I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it definitely had that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, kind of get what you're saying, you know, when you're breaking the fourth wall and all the things that they did along those lines. But this was goes back to your exposition that I think was really fascinating, was that they start with the whole thing about Deadpool wanting to matter. He often, I just don't matter. You know, like, what am I doing here? You know, he goes to the Avengers, he gets rejected by them. There's all these different things. And so I think they're really tapping into something that all of us kind of experience at different times in our lives as far as purpose and matter. So there's a depth to the story that I was actually kind of surprised by that they were able to kind of tap into. But also this kind of moves us to looking at the whole purpose and who is God, even though within the film, yes, just so you know, this is a spoiler, he does call himself the Marvel Jesus. And so if you want to see the sacrilegious, oh my God.
Way too often. We should have raised that earlier. Yeah. And I thought even just the idea of it wasn't that strong and they kept going with it all the way through. I'm like, oh, really? I thought you might have come up with something, I don't know, a little bit better than that.
A little bit better than that, yeah.
Like almost blasphemy aside and how affronted I was. I'm like, oh, it just doesn't seem that strong. Line, but you're right. We should have touched on that earlier.
Yeah, well, but I think that that's the only thing that I do enjoy about films like this. I think that the opportunity of kind of unmasking some of the bigger things that are trying to be kind of said, what they're really trying to do. I mean, I think that you can bring in a biblical idea, a biblical framework into those conversations. I mean, when it's right there for you, you know, the MCU Jesus, but then also when you're looking at also, how, do I matter? Am I purpose? I think that's where I think that we can kind of bring that film and faith together, which I'm kind of surprised by with a film like this, that you're able to do that. I mean, not only, and also along the lines of just the value of friendship that you're able to see, not only in the real life. Oh,
friendship. I thought the era of bromances was over, Russ. I thought the 2000 had finished that off with Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Will Ferrell, the frat pack. And then this was an explosion. There was so much nostalgia in the movie anyway for superhero films particularly, but the bromance throwback, not just in the movie, but in all of the marketing, I feel like they've duped the entire world into basically watching on and paying for their friendship. Like it's incredible that these celebrities are people that you feel like you're mates with and you want to hang out with, even though they go off and buy English football teams and they're clearly like you're not operating in the same league I am. And yet I'm seeing them swan around the world doing all sorts of funny stuff and you still like them. And that's one of the things about the movies and that they really harness. Ryan Reynolds is ultra likable even when he's trying not to be. And Hugh Jackman does a great sort of straight bat, almost straight man, exactly, rough guy totally alongside him. And so you do want to hang out with them more. But like you, I was also struck by a movie like this that actually does have more depth than what you might expect, even of its own making. And going back to, I was struck more by moral flexibility and thinking about why am I so torn about this character and why does Deadpool keep leaving me so... And it's, I think, because as much as on the one hand you're saying you're doing this for others and you want to matter and you want purpose, constantly eroding that by just going back to the ways that he's operated before, either in insult or violence or selfishness or whatever it might be. So if you're searching after purpose and meaning and you want to make a difference, I think change would be involved in that. I think you would need to be taken seriously and to make a difference to really matter, you would need to turn from some of the ways that are conflicting with that and head more towards, if you are striving for self-sacrifice or to be there for others, we'll be there for others. Stop going on about all this other stuff as well. And I was putting that up against the relationship you can have with God and Jesus and the example of Jesus in contrast with Marvel Jesus.
Yeah.
And thinking about how they call us towards a life of this that is turning from that. And Deadpool and Wolverine, I think, is a really good example of someone who's kind of torn there in the middle. They want to go this way, but they basically are, I think, unwilling, possibly unable, or at least have not looked into how might they go about changing for the better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, I mean, these are all great points. And I think that that's what's fascinating about this is that even though they maybe a film that I wouldn't necessarily recommend for everyone to see, and definitely not for families and definitely not for children, there are opportunities to kind of open the door, if you're going to go see it, to actually having deeper conversations about it. And I hopefully that's what people will be able to gain from this. So, but I have to ask you, Ben, so would you put this on your watch list?
I think I'm going to have to say no, because of all of the content in it that is just so confronting for people. But I will say, in its defense, I found it a great crystallization of the anti-hero superhero movie.
Yeah. For me, I would definitely say for the Marvel fans, I think this is one that you'll probably need to see. But I definitely would say don't take your children with you. Make sure that you're not taking it, anybody that you would be embarrassed to watch this sort of movie with. But it's, for me, it probably moved down off the watch list as far as wanting to go see it. It's not one I'd want to go watch again. But it'll be fascinating to see what MCU kind of goes on after this. So, hey Ben, it's been great having you on the watch list. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
and,
Russ.
I look forward to kind of further chats over the next few weeks. And if you want to hear more from Ben and also hear more of the watch list, you can go to Hope103.2 and also realdialogue.com. That's R-E-E-L dialogue.com. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also make sure you go check out the videos on YouTube. You get to see Ben. And also, we just thank you so much for coming along and listening to the watch list. Look forward to hearing it. Make sure you comment below what you think about the movie and also the discussion. And we look forward to talking to you on the watch list again soon. Watch.